Well, good morning, everyone. Good to see you on this wonderful snowy, well, it's not snowing right now, but we've got snow on the ground and it's kind of cold. I think it was 14 at our house. So, but we sure serve a good God. You know, we may not understand a lot of things that happen. But you know, I kind of look at dying as this. What I look at and what I ask about a person that may have passed on is I want to know, were they saved? Do they know Jesus? Because if they do, and did, they're going to be in heaven. See, we have hope. It's those that don't know Jesus who have no hope. Yes, we miss them. I have a son-in-law now with the Lord, and we miss him very much so. He was a big part of our lives. But we know that he went to be with the Lord. And so we're very comforted with that. We can miss him, but yet we know that if he had a chance to come back, he wouldn't. He'd want to stay right where he's at. And that's the same way with infants. Immediately go to be with the Lord. And I'm so thankful that we have that hope. You know, as we've taken the Lord's Supper this morning, it's that part of that hope. It's the new covenant that was given to us with power and hopefully with the understanding that we can have hope in the Lord and that when things go wrong and we pass on for whatever reason, that we know we're going to the arms of the Lord. And I can joy over that as I weep over my loss. Amen. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for who you are and what you've done. Lord, as we were able to partake of the bread, you are the bread of life, and to partake of the wine that represented your blood for the new covenant, that our sins can be forgiven, that we can receive Jesus into our heart, and we can have him in our lives as we're alive. And with that, Lord, we have such a great hope, knowing that when we leave this world, that we go to a better home to live with you in heaven. So, Father, thank you. Thank you so much for that. And we honor you. Father, I ask that you just make all of this just your word and everything it means and all the promises that are in it. Lord, that would be such more and greater meaning to us that it's not just words, but Lord, that it's real substance in our lives and we can count on it. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, my question to a lot of people is this. Do you believe that the gospel is for today? I'm talking the whole gospel. Or did some of it die with the disciples? Like with the Holy Spirit, who gives us strength and power and leads us and teaches us and guides us in every way, who convicts us when we make mistakes and go wrong, who leads us then to the feet of Jesus where we can repent and receive his grace. Or is that passed with the disciples? I only need it then. See, tongues is no longer for us. Just like healing for a lot of people believe healing's not for us today. So when that is the case, you're seeing the churches today trying to be good and living their lives full of weakness and actually loss of hope. If you don't believe in healing and you get sick, who do you go to? Well, I got a good doctor. I'm going to tell you, I do have a good doctor, but he doesn't know a lot, not compared to God. So it's kind of like, you know, maybe we ought to think about this. Is God real? Is his word still all-powerful? And people say, well, I prayed for healing, didn't get healed. Well, evidently you get healed. Otherwise, you'd probably be under the dirt. See, folks, we've got to learn that we've got hope. God is the same yesterday, before the disciples, with the disciples, and after the disciples. He's the same. You see, we have hope. And I want to talk about that this morning, the hope that we can have in the Lord. In fact, last week we talked about the 10 lepers. So I'm going to kind of go in there just a little bit and try to breeze through this real fast. But you see, folks, when I preach, and I think that's the way it should be, it's not just to give you some history. I love history. But that's not what the preaching is all about. How about the now? How do we use it? Does it really work? How do I grasp onto faith to where I can actually trust in the Lord? You see, when I'm hurting, I want to be able to feel and sense the love of the Lord. And there's times that maybe I can't feel that, and I feel alone, and I wonder. And the Holy Spirit comes and inspires my faith and builds me up and takes me a lot of times to Scripture or in remembrance of something that the Lord had said before. And it revives all of that. See, we're not alone. And we go through hard times, but not as hard as Jesus went through. So it's really important to learn how that we can touch God, how that we can trust him to move in our lives, to heal us, to touch our loved ones, to do the very things that he really wants to do anyway. You know, don't be thinking that he doesn't care. He cares. He doesn't want that, and he doesn't want it probably even more than you don't. But there's ways of getting, I think, the Lord's attention. I think the problem is maybe getting the Lord's attention. It's kind of like, didn't we talk about the disciples were sent to go across the lake? And later on, then Jesus walked to them, and there was a storm going. Well, it was windy, and it was contrary to the way they were going. See, when you're in a sailboat, it's easier to go with the wind than against the wind. Sometimes, and most of the time in our lives and following the Lord, you go against current. You go against everything, because the enemy's against you. The world's against you. Everything's against you. So it's sometimes a struggle. You got to work at it. It's not easy. But it's doable. And here they are. For hours they're rowing, and yet they're just in the middle of the lake. So Jesus walked on the lake, or on the sea rather, to go to them. And it says in there that he would have passed them by. He's seen their struggles, and he would have passed them by. But then they seen him. Folks, how many of us are rowing hard? We're going against everything. And Jesus passes us by because we didn't notice him. Folks, that's our problem. It's like I'm reminded, too, of blind Bartimaeus when Jesus was walking down the road and the crowd was following. And the blind man sitting on the side, he's like, what's going on? What's happening here? And they said, well, it's Jesus. He's passing by. And what did he do? Well, I wish he would come heal me. I heard about him healing everybody and even those that were blind like me. I sure wish he would heal me. And then let him walk right on by. And see, that's what we do sometimes. We wish. But it's more than just a wish, folks. We've got to learn to stand. God, you said. And what did Bartimaeus do? He cried, Jesus! Jesus! And he kept walking. And the people then said, Bartimaeus, be quiet now. You're just making a disturbance. It's why in a church when we need something, folks, I need your prayers. Don't just say, oh, I'll pray for you. Put something behind it. You know, if we really care, what do? Bartimaeus is yelling, and they said, oh, man, it'll be all right. You just be quiet some other time. He's not interested in you. Isn't that what we think sometimes when it goes on? God doesn't care. But what did Bartimaeus do? What should we do when we have a need? I think we should cry out even louder, and that's what Bartimaeus did. He was screaming it out, Jesus! And Jesus then heard him. And he stopped. And he said, bring him to me. See, folks, I think a lot of our problem is in the way we do things, that we're way too submissive with bad things. I'm not going to be submissive to bad things. When I see people hurting, I want to talk to them and help them. Folks, there's so many people that they need a healing or they need a touch from God, and yet they won't go to church. And they know about God, but yet they won't go to receive their healing. They just continue the way they are, and they go to the doctors, and then they tell other people to pray for them. And that's all good. But Jesus passes right on by. He wants to heal them. And so he called Bartimaeus and said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I would like to be healed, that I can see again. And the Lord healed him right then. See, that's what happened with the 10 lepers. Remember how they stood off far off? Folks, I think they kind of represent the church in a lot of ways. Because I always look at the church and I get in, I try to preach and I try to teach, and it's like we all leave the same, or most of them just leave the same. And I'm like, wow, don't we have to do something a little different? Shouldn't the word do something for us? If the word has power, why wouldn't it do something for us? But see, they stood at a distance, and we talked about them last week. They stood at a distance, and the 10 of them yelled out for Jesus. Lord, have mercy on us. And then Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest and make the offerings that are needed, or what is responsible for what Moses said to do. And it said that as they went, they were cleansed. See, folks, we need to learn to get God's attention. And not just walk around wishing. See, we've got to, I believe, come to the point of understanding that the gospel is very serious. It's not just words. It's not that it just made a nice book. But it's actually real, and it will work for everyone. Not just a few, but for everyone. Now, you may not get everything you want all the time, because there's a lot of things we probably don't need. Paul even had a problem and said he prayed 3 times for it to be taken away. And the Lord says, I won't do it. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And it says in there, when you feel weak and you got problems, he says, that's when I'm actually strong. Paul's saying that because of my weaknesses, my so-called frailty, and the things that I'm asking and needing. He said, that doesn't matter. I've got God's grace. And I'm going to walk in his grace, because he says, to me, it's a good thing to be weak at times. Weak in my own self, realizing that I can't do it. But Lord, I've got God that I know can do it, and I trust in him. See, a lot of times we feel weak, so we tend to give up. No, that's when you're in a good spot. That's when you're in a spot where you can say, God, I can't, but you can, and you will. Thank you. But you know, as they were healed, the 10, it says that only one came back. Because the rest of them really wasn't thankful. They were just kind of greedy. Oh, wow, great. I'm whole now. I can go back to my family. And so they go back, and they have nothing to do with the Lord. There's no gratitude. Do you just love helping people that have no gratitude? That's kind of the mentality, is it's all owed to me. Why can't I go to the grocery store and steal a whole basket full of groceries? There's nothing wrong with stealing. They owe that to me. And that's how a lot of Christians are. Folks, we lack sometimes in gratitude, compassion, and understanding. But one came back, and he says that he fell down before the Lord and worshiped him. He was thankful. And it says in there that he was a Samaritan. If you're looking in your Bibles, would you turn with me to 2 Kings? I'm going to tell you something about the Samaritans. 2 Kings chapter 17. And what happened is the king of Assyria attacked Samaria. It says that they kind of encompassed Samaria, set siege to it for 3 years, and finally won it. And so what they did then is they took all of the people out of there, all the Israelites, every one of them, took them out and moved them somewhere else. And then what they did is they resettled the whole thing with bringing other foreigners in and placing them in Samaria instead of the Jews. Fact 25, I'll read, and it was so at the beginning of their dwelling. That's 2 Kings 17:25. It says, at the beginning of their dwelling there, that these foreigners that were brought in, they didn't know God at all, and so therefore they did not fear God. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them and killed some of them. Y'all see that? They didn't fear God. There's so many people, fear is not what he's talking about, fright. He's talking about honor, showing regard to, and honoring him totally. And see, that's what I'm talking about today, is how we honor and worship God, how we learn to really fear God. God, you said in your word, Lord, I have a need. So I need to get your attention. I need to come to a place, Lord, when I'm in total gratitude and honor of who you are and what you've done for me, that I'm so thankful for all of this. And it says these people that came in had no fear of God, no honor for God. And they didn't know him. Have you ever noticed in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says this? It says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. Kind of like that one in Samaria that went around killing people simply because they didn't fear God. Just think of it. Is that why the church, God's people, tend to have a lion on their back? That Peter's trying to share with them there in chapter 5? And it says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it says to resist him steadfast in the faith, in fear of the Lord, and in honoring him. So some of the nobles went, they went then to the king of Syria and said, hey, we got a problem. We got lions. We got lions in town that are killing people. What do we do? And so the king said this, a king of Syria. He says, well, they just don't know the customs there of how to fear the God and who the God even is. So he says, just get one of the priests that we took from the city and put him in there and let him tell them what they need to do so that the lions will quit killing them, that God won't be angry at them anymore. So in verse 28, it says, then one of the priests whom they carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, Samaria, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. The only problem was, is the reason the Lord had these Assyrians capture and take everyone out of Samaria was because they wasn't fearing the Lord. You see, they were worshiping false idols and doing bad things. In fact, let me read some of it. Verse 17 of 2 Kings, it says, these Israelites even sacrificed their own sons and daughters in the fire. They consulted fortune tellers and practiced sorcery and sold themselves to evil, therefore arousing the Lord's anger. So they brought one of these priests who was part of all of this, and he's just teaching them how to fear the Lord. See, a lot of times we want to know enough just to get by. So I want to be blessed, but I don't want to get too involved. You know, that's going to cost too much. Wait a minute. I get so many. It's kind of like the one song we sang. We have some room for the Lord or something like that. I looked at that and I said, man alive. Yeah, we do. We kind of make room. Let's move that over a little bit in my heart. Now, all right, Lord, you got a little space here. You're welcome. But see, that's the thing. A lot of people, you really don't want to get involved. That's them. They don't really want to get involved. See, they want to stay right with God for the blessings, but I don't want to get too involved. Kind of like remember when the rich young ruler went to the Lord? Lord, what good thing must I do to inherit the kingdom? And Jesus, well, keep the law. Oh, amen. I've done that. From my youth up, I've done that. And then Jesus said, if you really want to be perfect, he said, sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and then take up your cross, come follow me. And he refused to do it. It says he went away sorrowful. See, that's how a lot of us are. It's like, yeah, we want to serve. I'm not saying this church, you know, I'm talking about everybody else. But it's like, no, I don't want to do too much because I'm busy. You know, I've got other things planned. And I'll make that little bit of room. But right now, that's all I can do. I hope the Lord understands. I'm sure he does. And so they bring this priest in who's teaching a lot of this garbage. And if you look at Romans 6:16, it says this. He says, do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. See, we have a choice. And we become slaves. Verse 33, it says, with this priest doing all this teaching and stuff and him being corrupted himself, at least it stopped the lions attacking. But he didn't bring him to Jesus. Of course, back then he couldn't, but we can. And verse 33 of 2 Kings, it says this, they feared the Lord, yet served their own gods according to the rituals of the nations, from among whom they were carried away. It's kind of like, you know, if you look at the Muslims and all the other different religions, Somali people who came, and they're even talking about them. See, they bring them in and they take over. They put their law into effect, kind of like Dearborn. 5 times a day, man, they turn the music on. And then they do the prayers. on loudspeakers. You see, they take over. And that's what they were doing when they came to Samaria. Except for this one thing. They finally learned to honor God a little. Enough that it stopped the lions. You know, it's kind of ironic that what we've been taught, it's hard to let go. Do you ever notice that? If you were in a denomination, which you, all of you were, and you made a wise choice and a big choice. But you also have a hard time letting go of the ritualism that you always did every year. And I'm not condemning for that at all. I'm just saying that so you can kind of see where these people were when they came in, how they kept serving their own gods. They feared God and honored him enough so they wouldn't get killed by the lions. But yet they kept their own rituals. They did their own things. They still went to all the high places and made altars and worshiped their God. And folks, I've always kind of looked at the church. What is the problem with the church today? Folks, do you know that we are nothing like they were in Acts, in the first church? Nothing like it. Read Acts and look at all the different things. Man, when there was a need there, it says that people sold everything they have and gave it to the disciples to distribute to those that were in need. But now, there's a lot of things that were good and needful that we won't do. That includes me. I am not standing before you perfect, let me tell you. And I never want to claim that. See, sometimes it takes the worst culprit to teach those that are less culprits the things that may need to be changed. Y'all understand what I'm saying? See, I can only preach and share God's word and be honest with you. It's because I know how bad I was, how many mistakes I made. And so I kind of speak firsthand because God brings it all up and shows me. So a lot of things that I read in the Word like this, it's like, God, I was bad. And I can share then with people what it maybe really means. Hopefully that you can understand what I'm trying to say about it. But folks, we serve such a God. Isaiah 29:13 says this. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. See, we can go through the motions. We can go to church, sing all praise, and we can pray, and it's all good. But it's kind of like, did you make just a little spot for the Lord? Did you have to kind of move things around so you can try to make some room for him? Or did you just say, God, it's all dung, it's filth. Like Paul said, it's not worth anything. My heart's just open. Lord, you take my heart, my life, you use it to your glory. You do what you want in me. But Lord, I ask that you would bless people through me as I honor you and worship you. So their hearts are far from me, he says, and their fear towards me is taught by commandments from men. See, folks, a lot of things we don't understand, we don't have it in our heart. So we don't have love. We haven't made the room. And what we're doing is we honor God just by what we're told. That's why so much of the scripture is, it's just words, because it's things that were taught. We've not experienced it. We're not actually living it, because we're lacking in our love. See, when you can't love and you don't have that love in your heart, it's hard to do and even impossible to do. But when you're so filled with the love of God, and God touches you and he changes you and he begins to rule and reign in your life, and the Holy Spirit is leading you, and you start realizing that this word is real, that I can trust him for healing. In fact, when we learn to really love God and believe his word, rather than praying for healing, the Lord even said, speak to it. Didn't he say, speak to the mountain? Be lifted and cast into the sea. And he says, if you can believe, shall be done. Isn't that what we can do with sickness and disease? We can lay hands on and speak to that thing. It's the devil. It's a lion that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we've done it many times, even so much as casting out demons. Folks, we've experienced this. We're not perfect in it, but our hearts are so open. God, fill me with your love. Folks, I can't even make myself love. I ask for it. God, put love in my heart. Change me. I can't serve him without that. But anyway, thankfulness is so needed in our lives. Man, if you're full of love, you're full of thankfulness. See, you can maybe fake it for a while, but when it gets hard, how long will you row against the wind? We tend to give up. I'm so glad that God doesn't give up on us. Amen. Folks, we're coming into the Christmas season, and this is a joyous time. What was you saying, Mary? Merry Christmas? And Mary means mighty. So don't be just be merry, be mighty. Amen? Folks, we got the word. And I may sound radical to some, but that's okay. At least I'm not dead spiritually. Amen? I'm radical for the Lord. I know what the Lord does and can do and will do. God's got so much. Why would he send Jesus in Christmas and give it all to the disciples and then take most of it back with him when they all die? Like, we don't need it? We don't need healing? We don't need the Holy Spirit. Folks, I get excited in the Word. I don't know if anybody, if you guys do or not, but I want to tell you the Word's exciting. We just need to learn to start walking in it and taking and not taking no for an answer, seeming no. It's just the enemy saying no, trying to make us give up. But we need to hang in there and say, no, my God says. Folks, we've had a lot of healing done in this church, a lot of prayers answered. And I don't want to think that the Lord placed me here for, wow, almost 2 years now to preach to you and try to teach you what little I know, that it would grow you and help you in Him. See, I love to see results, and I know that's what God wants to see. See, what I share with you is not just words. It's the power of God. But you have to take it and use it. So you can leave your car in the parking lot when you leave here and walk home. It's okay. Kind of like leaving the Word when you go. You don't have to take the power and the promises. You can leave them here. But you'll go home in need, in weak, and in sorrow, and in regret. Man, the easy way to go home is go out there and get in your car and take the Word with you. Amen? Father, we thank you for your Word. Holy Spirit, I ask that with God's Word that you would just touch us in such a mighty way that we would realize that the Word is truth. It is real. And it has not been voided out. But it will accomplish what you've set it forth to do. So, Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for Jesus and the birth of Jesus that we're going to celebrate here in a couple of weeks. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We worship you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.